If you drive on a parkway and park in a driveway, can I bill Wendy's for putting in a new drive-thru window on accident the other night? Is fantasy football just Dungeons and Dragons for jocks? If because of PC culture we call policemen police officer, snowmen snow folk, do we call doggy style Red Rover come over? None of these questions, and whether or not my sobriety has lasted, tonight on the Admiral Matters podcast.
How long did you last?
I lasted 7 days.
Who was closer on the bet? You got it?
Yeah.
Was it you or was it Scott?
Scott said
2 weeks, and then he went to 10 days.
He said 10 days because you work at BJ's on Thursday.
Yeah.
He's like, after that, he's like, guaranteed Thursday, I will see Mark here. Guaranteed.
Hey, it was a good run, though.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Made it a week. Actually, I made it a week. I made it 7 days to the hour.
He's just sweating, looking at the clock. I'm going to make it for 7 days.
6 days, 23 hours. Screw it.
No, man, that's good. There's some people that can't go half as long as you did. You know what I mean?
Well, I did the whole thing. The reason I wanted to do it was I wanted to jumpstart losing weight.
And, yeah, and the text I said.
And I was 200 pounds. I stopped drinking for a week. I was 210. It's like, what the hell? This makes no sense.
Did you replace anything with?
Yeah, I'm not drinking, so I was sitting there just eating all the time.
Yeah.
So rather than sitting down, having a beer, and just chatting with everybody at the bar or something like that, I was going to Wendy's and I was like, going to Dairy Queen and crap like that, just sitting down eating chips and drinking soda water, and it was like, yeah, this ain't working.
Well, folks, it is episode 28. I have it correct this time. I did not fuck it up. For the last four that I've listened, every time I'm like, episode 24? And you guys are like 25. I'm like, fuck.
Well, yeah, you're good now because of time change.
No, it's because I wrote it on my notes. And, like, big, like, episode 28.
Did the time change?
Yeah. Sunday. Or yesterday.
Yeah. Where the fuck I was.
See how it's still light outside?
Yeah, it's 7 p.m.
All my days just blend together, and they're just one long-ass event. It just happens. As always, before we get too far into it, I want to provide you guys with the science news of the week. This week, I decided to go with a Superior Mirage.
As opposed to a regular Mirage.
Or the Elite. The Superior Mirage has actually been really well documented in art and writing throughout the centuries. Arguably one of the best descriptions linking the Superior Mirage is the notorious ghost ships.
Which started this news of the week because I fucking texted her. I was talking to you. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Ian sent me, it was brought to the UK news by David Morris, which actually showed a ship kind of off in the distance, I'd say maybe 100 miles.
No.
Not that far?
No. I'd say probably, give it, you can't see anything after the curvature after 12 miles.
Oh, well.
So I'd probably say like, let's say 8.
David Morris had taken a picture. This ship was about 8 miles off the coast, and it straight up looked like the Dutchman's floating ghost ship. We're talking huge. This is like a liner, like a contain, like it holds shipping containers.
One of those barges.
Yeah. With this being more generally seen in the Arctic waters, so it's not really anything that we're going to see like off the coast of Florida or California or New York.
Yeah, because this was more set north, right? So it was more cold water.
Yeah, since the cold air is denser than the warm air, it bends light towards the eye of someone standing on the ground or on the coast, changing how a distant object may appear to the human eye.
Because I'm sorry, when I first saw it, I just instantly said, the Matrix is fucking broken.
Oh, it was insane.
The simulation's over. There's a glitch.
I had actually thought I had seen something very similar. I was headed out towards Denniston University. I understand most people aren't going to realize where that or what that is. But I was going uphill. It was on one of the warmer days that we had had. And anybody knows you're traveling down a highway, road's hot. When you're coming over the top of a hill, it like shimmers. It almost looks like water. And there were cars. I'd probably say about 12 car lengths ahead of me. And as we're going up this hill, it hadn't quite peaked yet, and the car almost looked like it was floating.
See, I have not seen that yet, so I'm going to have to definitely look out when it's like a hot summer day and a thunderstorm's coming in with cold air underneath. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to really think about that.
It wasn't like the car was like 12 feet off the ground, but it had seemed...
It looked like it elevated
The car was at least 5 to 10 feet off the ground. I thought it was crazy as hell that we had spoke about that. And then like literally the next day I'm driving, I'm like, oh shit, like I can't wait to talk about this. But yeah, Superior Mirage. Check out the picture. You can really just type in David Morris Ghost Ship in the UK, and it'll pop right up. So if you guys want to check that out, definitely do it. It's worth the view.
And also search on there just Superior Mirage, because when I clicked that in, it showed a whole bunch of other different things where it was like even like land flipped upside down and floating.
That'd be insane. I saw some other depictions where it was literally like pirate ships floating in the air. And I just thought that was insane.
So the Der Dutchman.
Right. So I definitely wanted to cover that.
But that's probably where they got the ghost ships.
That would be a good one for us to cover next.
But you know what I mean? Like they see that mirage and they think it's a fucking ghost ship, you know? Like, because it's floating above the water.
And especially you got tales of Blackbeard and stuff around that time. Mm-hmm. I think that's...
It's good science news, man.
Thank you, sir.
Well, this episode is Atlantis.
Woo. Excited about this one.
This is a good one.
I like this one.
Yes.
That's why I pushed for it.
We can kind of give a little bit of a background on it. The first time that Atlantis was ever heard from was from Plato's writings.
Mm-hmm. And it derived from Solon, who was six generations before him. But he never wrote it down. It was just...
It was a big game of telephone.
Yeah,
it was
tale of a tale
oratory. Yeah. So Solon, who lived from 638 to 558 BC, so he's 80 years old. Then the first person that actually wrote it down was Herodotus from 484 BC to 425 BC. So he was actually also 80 years old when he passed away.
Which is really rare for those times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when he passed away, Plato was 2 years old.
Okay.
So, but they never met, of course. But Herodotus was the first one to actually put Atlantis on a map. And that's all. That's all he actually did. But he was also the father of history, because he's the first person to actually write everything down in a scientific way and actually studied and backed up everything that he put into history.
He put his sights down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we actually know.
Fucking hate writing sights.
We know that he wasn't full of shit with the stuff that he wrote now.
Right. Well, based off of the internets that we have today.
The interwebs.
The internets.
Series of tubes.
You know, tubes.
Atlantis, the island, in quote unquote, island of Atlas, is a fictional island mentioned in an allegory on the hubris of nations in Plato's works of Timaeus and, what is it, Critias?
Critias, yeah. I believe that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Critia.
Wherein it represents the antagonist naval power that besieges ancient Athens, the pseudo-historic embodiment of Plato's ideal state in the Republic. And in the story, Athens repels the Atlantean attack unlike any other nation of the known world, supposedly bearing witness to the superiority of Plato's concept of a state. So they're saying that it is a fictional tale. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are debating this.
Yeah.
Did he allegorically make this up? Because Plato did have a lot of students. Maybe he was just trying to do a lesson for them.
Yeah, and even the ancient Egyptians have tales about Atlantis.
Yeah.
But they don't call it Atlantis per se.
I don't know what they call it.
I can't remember what they call it either, but it lines up with the story from Plato. I'm trying to keep up with my notes that I didn't write anything down.
I thought you were going to say no. Something. I was just reading. So from Plato's story itself, he's saying that Atlantis had started 9,000 years ago. That's when he was placing, because of the stories being passed down and passed down.
Mm-hmm.
They said that Atlantis was 9,000 years ago before his time. And I think he was around 300 BC.
Plato?
Yeah.
Plato was, let me look it up again, 420 BC to about around 340 BC.
Okay. So in that time era, 9,000 years before that,
mm-hmm.
which kind of ties into a lot of stuff that we talk about of ancient civilizations, because that would mark it right around the Great Deluge.
Yep.
About they supposedly think that the flood happened around 12,000 to 10,000 BC. So, I mean, that would kind of line up if an island was going to go under.
Yeah. You got to think back then, too, a lot of areas that are now deserts or mountains and stuff like that were actually swamplands and, like, jungle areas.
Or even Antarctica.
Antarctica was warmer.
Yeah.
It might have had vegetation growing at that time.
But while present-day philologists and agree on the story's fictional character, there is still debate on what served as its inspiration. And it was passed down, I guess, the story as the story goes, and I don't know what you have on it. Atlantis was not called Atlantis because of the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah. It was actually from Atlas, which was the son of Poseidon.
First son of Poseidon.
Yeah.
So it was Atlantis literally means land of Atlas.
And he had full control over Atlantis. And the description of Atlantis is that they had a central island.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was rings of islands going around it. Yeah. Kind of like a barrier.
Yeah, it was three rings of land, two rings of water. The center island had two springs on it, one hot, one cold. So it would bring up fresh water. It sat on a plain, according to Plato, and it was sheltered to the north by mountains, and there were streams coming down the mountains to it. And it was quarried and built out of white, black, and red rock. And then they also quarried something called Orichalcum.
Yes.
And Orichalcum was like a mixture of like lead, copper, and zinc, like a brass kind of. And they would actually use that to make coins. And it was actually second most valuable thing next to gold at the time.
And it was a really weird combination of elements. Like it was mostly copper, but then they had like lead, iron, all that kind of stuff in there too.
Yeah.
And it was the bee's knees to be able to have that kind of shit.
And well, it was also used to mint coins. And they found ingots of it in ancient triremes and stuff like that. So they know that the ingots actually existed that they spoke of that were mined in Atlantis and traded, and that why they were so rich and powerful because of everyone wanted that. So they were trading it with the rest of the world. So, I mean, some of that starts breathing life into it actually being real.
I actually had a little bit about that find. In 2015, several world news organizations reported that archaeologists had recently recovered 39 ingots of the Orichalcum, I think, from a 2,600-year-old shipwreck found 10 feet underwater off the coast of Sicily, near the town of Gela. And for those not familiar with the name, according to Plato, it was a type of copper broadly used by the legendary Atlanteans.
Yep.
What was that site you were... I remember a couple of weeks ago we had talked about this. What was that one location you had showed us where it almost fit perfectly, like with the rings?
I'll and get just, into
like,
that.
The structure? That shit was
crazy. I'll get into that later. So Plato also said that there was a canal that started from the southern part of the islands, or the rings of Atlantis, and it moved 50 stadia long. It was 50 stadia long going out to the Atlantic Ocean. It was 100 foot deep and 300 feet wide, this canal. Now, 50 stadia is equal to about 660 feet, or a furlong, or an eighth of a mile. So doing the calculations, it means that there was a canal that was roughly probably 6 or 7 miles long, leading from the actual city and the harbors out to the Atlantic Ocean.
Are you talking natural or
man-made? And it was also, Plato said that it existed west of the Pillars of Heracles, or Hercules, however you want to say it, which we know those as the Rocks of Gibraltar, which is in southern Spain and North Africa.
Mm-hmm.
There was abundance of elephants and all sorts of other things that they said in Atlantis. And it was supposed to be created, like you said, by Poseidon for his 10 children. And, of course, the eldest was Atlas, who became king. The other 9 were all given kingdoms of their own that made up the empire of Atlantis. And there was one unbroken law. No one would attack the other. So none of the brothers would attack each other. They would all come together to defend the king, Atlas, when needed. And the king was never in charge or above life or death. So you couldn't just say, you know, well, this guy pissed me off, kill him. They actually had to vote, and the other 9 had to agree whether or not, like, war, all that kind of stuff.
Guys, it's Cletus's 3rd strike. We got to do something about him.
Stop it. You got to get the vote of the 9. It says in Plato's thing, though, that the bloodlines became so diluted once Atlas's children started taking over as king and all that kind of stuff, that the honorable race was turning wicked. And so Zeus got pissed off, brought together all the other gods, and spoke to them and said, and then the rest of the text is gone and lost forever.
Well, it was said that he didn't finish it.
Yeah.
Like, he just stopped right there in his story.
That's the biggest cliff.
It's the biggest fucking Sopranos fuck you episode.
Yeah.
He's just like, done.
Yeah.
It's a Sopranos. It's the final season of Sopranos.
Right.
Or just goes to black. Really? You asshole.
I mean, maybe he was going to come back to it and finish it. I mean, he went on to do so
many. Yeah, it was his Infinity War. He was supposed to come back with Endgame, and he just never got around to it.
Jesus. I've never seen any of those.
What I want to kind of talk about, because I found this really interesting, if you guys will humor me here. The island, or not even an island, but it's just kind of like it's kind of like Florida, where it's kind of like it kind of comes down a little bit off the land. Like
a panhandle? Peninsula.
Peninsula, thank you. I was trying to find the word. Both of you are correct, yes. Haliki. Did you get anything on Haliki?
Haliki haka like a little bit. Yeah.
Well, it's spelled he like, but it's pronounced Haliki. Probably the most forthright clue that Plato fabricated Atlantis is that he is the only person to give account of it. Prior to his tale, Atlantis had been mentioned before, and none of his contemporaries described a legendary city either. But this is not to say that they aren't accounts of a location that was very close and parallel to Plato's description of Atlantis. And Haliki was, like you were saying in the description, well, let's go back to Atlantis first. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that it's west of the Straits of Gibraltar.
Yep, to get to it, yeah.
It is a large landmass. It has rivers coming down to it.
From mountains above it.
From the mountains above. And it also described in Plato's writing that it had a statue of Poseidon in the middle. They worship Poseidon, obviously, because of Atlas and his dad.
And the central island was actually built by Poseidon originally for his wife, who was Atlas's mother. Mm-hmm. And then Atlas took over and turned into the palace. Because that's where the 10 brothers first saw light, which also means that's where they were birthed.
Birthed, yeah. And then, in Plato's writings, he said that it was taken by an earthquake and basically a tsunami. He didn't call it a tsunami, but large waves. It encompassed it within a day, and it was gone. It was buried.
I think that the text had said it was around 373 BC, right?
That's when
Plato wrote it.
And then, now, I want to talk about what happened to Haliki. The coastal city of Heliki, located on the Gulf of the Corinth in Greece, was the seat of the power of the 12-city Achaean League. The city was hundreds of years old by the time Plato rose to prominence. It was wealthy, it controlled shipping in the area, and it established its own colonies in other areas like Italy. So, like you were saying, the other territories. So it had power in other areas. It was also a major center of worship of Poseidon, the god whom Plato described as patron of Atlantis. Like Plato's Lost City, Heliki featured a prominent and famous statue of the god. And for 5 days in December of 373 BC, witnesses in the area noticed that small animals like snakes, mice, and insects were migrating in masses away from the coast. If the fucking animals are leaving, you better leave too.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so the Heliki was on a delta because they had the two rivers coming down into Heliki. Indeed, earthquake researchers have noted an apparent ability among small animals to sense an impending quake and attempt to escape the area. This held true for Heliki as well. In the middle of the night, on the fifth day, a major earthquake struck the area, followed by an enormous tsunami from the Gulf of Corinth. In a matter of minutes, the city of Heliki was overcome by the sea, just as Plato described it for Atlantis. And at dawn, a group of rescuers amassed and hurried to help the residents, but there was no one to save. The town was ruined by an earthquake and submerged beneath the sea. 10 ships from Sparta that had been moored just offshore had vanished. Only the treetops of Poseidon's tree grove and the statue still poked out of the water surface. Beneath the water, the statue of Poseidon, built by the cult that worshipped him, still stood erect, and local fishermen reported catching their nets on it frequently. Now, while this is a legend of the city and knowledge of its fate, Heliki did eventually become lost. And what was really cool in recent times, because they were still trying to find Heliki again, well, because of those two rivers, sedimentary, soot, all that kind of stuff, it just kept building the shore more farther south. And they kept on searching for it. They couldn't find it. And finally, this one archaeologist was like, I don't think we're in the right area. I think we need to move north a little. Yeah, go inland. And it's actually been documented that even in that area, there was an example of a house that was built along the shore in 1890, and now it's 1,000 feet inland because of just all the sedimentary and that kind of stuff coming in that area. So they dig, they find Heliki, and then they say, for shits and giggles, let's dig a little more. They find another civilization that had built there before then, thousands of years ago. And then they dug a little more and they found another civilization. That's like amazing for archaeologists. That's like the trifecta of jackpots of, you know, being able to check out what happened there. But you can kind of see that history repeats itself in that situation. People move into that area and they're like, this is beautiful. We got fresh water coming in. We've got, you know, the seafood and everything we can get. Let's park it right here.
And you got all that sedimentary shit just coming down the rivers too, giving you some of the most fertile soil out there too.
And the whammy is there's a double fault line going through that area.
Yeah.
So the earthquake happens, and what happens with that area is because of the fault line, one shifting of the side of the river where it meets, one shift goes 9 feet up, and the other side goes 7 feet down.
Damn.
So it's like water just engulfs.
Yep.
And so they got buried. And then thousands of years later, hey, this looks like a great spot. And
they prime real estate.
And they build again.
Why is no one living here?
Right. But that's what happened. I mean, just history repeated itself constantly because just the earth, that fault line and the earthquakes there. Beautiful place, but earthquake's coming.
Yep.
Here comes a tsunami, too.
Fuck around and find out.
But I just found it very interesting that a lot of what he depicts very similarly matches Heliki.
Yeah. The only thing is the placement of it, with the being outside the Pillars of Hercules.
Well, they said it was west. Right?
Yeah, but that's east.
Is that east?
That's east. West saying? West is the Atlantic Ocean.
I'm going to look at a map.
But keep talking. Because you said it's off Greece. Greece is east of...
Oh, I can't do it.
In the Mediterranean Sea.
I'm not connected.
You can connect to mine.
Just... You're connected. Just go ahead and look. Where's Hellenic?
Hold, please.
Because Greece is right here.
Uh-huh.
Pillars of Hercules. West.
Okay. But it did fit a lot of the descriptions.
Yes.
Except for that one.
Well, there's a lot of places that talk about, a lot of things that talk about, oh, it could be here, it could be in Australia, it could be in Japan, it might be in South America.
You had a list of that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like...
Possible locations, they're all in the Mediterranean. The island of Malta, which I'll talk about that here in a little bit. Cyprus bison, some have said Turkey, the Black Sea, Indonesia, the Caribbean Sea, Morocco, Antarctica. The Antarctica one actually makes a lot of sense, I thought.
In if it was thousands of years ago.
No, modern times it does. Not thousands of years ago. You gotta remember the known world in the days of Plato and Herodotus and all those guys was literally just like the Mediterranean basin. North Africa, parts of Western Asia, and to the north, the Celtic lands. That was it. They didn't know Antarctica existed. They didn't know the New Worlds existed. They didn't know Japan existed.
According to Hopgood, around 12,000 years ago, the Earth's crust, he liked the thought that the Earth's crust had shifted, displacing the continent that became Antarctica, that it was much further north than where it is now, though.
It would be, but it was millions and millions of years when it was actually up by us.
Tropical?
When it, yeah. When it was attached closer to, like, India and all that. That was millions of years. That's before humans even walked the Earth.
I mean, we've only, like, the modern Homo sapien has been, what, 200,000 years?
Something like that.
Homo erectus.
It's just a blip on the...
It is. Really it is.
Clock.
Me being 12, erect. Sorry. I had to say that. I've got a lot to say this podcast.
Well, there was one, too, the one you said in the Black Sea.
Yeah.
Wasn't that sort of an L, the people that lived there?
The Lemura?
Lemura or something like that? Who were thought to be aliens.
Yeah.
That could actually teleport.
Yeah.
And move through different portals of matter. And eventually got in trouble with the gods or something like that.
I'm talking about Stargate.
Yeah, and it started and got, like, stuck here. And so they went and built Atlantis.
But that would be east, right?
Yeah.
Not west.
That would be east in, like, I think it was, like, India or something like that.
With the Black Sea, I think it was the story of Atlantis was, like, a mythical retelling of the Black Sea flood.
Mm-hmm.
I just found it, with Hellenic, I just found it that it was very coincidental that Hellenic had just had that happen to them years before he started writing about Atlantis. The whole statue,
which if the whole thing is bullshit, that right there is where he probably might have gotten most of his idea for it.
Right.
Where then you start, as a storyteller, you start taking parts of real history and start embellishing it, mixing it with your own of other things that have been told through the spoken stories, since they write a lot of stuff down, thousands and thousands of years ago.
Yeah. Let's debunk one first. How about that? How about that? What do you think about the Bimini?
Bimini,
yeah. Did you see or hear
about
that?
The Bimini?
Path that's underwater in the Caribbean.
Oh.
Where it looks like a roadway underwater. Like there was a civilization that was there, and now it's just covered in the sand and all that.
The problem with that, too, is there's places out in Japan that will be showing stuff like that, too, where it's like everything's like in perfect lines and all that.
Problem is, it's sandstone. And when sandstone gets stressed, it fractures perfectly straight. And it almost looks like it's man-made, but it's not. It's actually natural. And you can get long, long rows of steps and, like, roads and stuff like that. It looks like, but it's just the sandstone where it's fractured.
Maybe on one side, but this looks like
But where they squares. Look into it, yeah, there's no tool marks on any of it. And the squares are actually the exact same thing of what happens with sandstone and some basalt when it actually breaks. And it, like, it looks perfect. It looks like someone actually went and built it.
Like hematite.
Yeah.
Like salt.
It just breaks perfectly.
I mean, I don't think that Atlantis was in the Caribbean.
I think it's too far.
Yeah.
Same thing with, like, you said with Antarctica. It's just too far. I mean, the greatest sailors ever were the Vikings. And you got to take that another thousand some years of technology later before someone was actually able to cross the North Sea. Mm-hmm. And they were never able to go across the actual Atlantic. They went Iceland, Greenland, and
hopped over.
Island hopped
yeah.
to get there because you couldn't go through the open ocean. So to get for the Greeks to war with the Atlanteans in Bermuda.
Right.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Taking a 3-month trek to go.
Longer than that.
Right.
In a little trireme.
Right.
Ain't no way in hell. Hey, that's like me trying to get to go get a Piro since you're a big, you know, Louisiana fan. You know, one of those little P-Rope boats to try to take that over to, you know, England.
Right.
I'm probably not going to make it. But, I mean, that's the exact same as, like we were saying earlier, that'd be like the people in the Revolutionary, people who are studying the Revolutionary War talking about a big battle that they can't find between the English and the Americans. So let's go look in Singapore, because I think it happened there. It's like, no, dumbass, it was in Virginia. Right. Or it was in Kentucky. We didn't go that far.
Right.
And that's the 1700s.
So, I mean, if it did exist, if
it would have to be close.
It would be close. It would be in that area.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking, if you're going to the Bahamas, hell, Christopher Columbus barely made it there without his crew mutiny, and he was on big ships.
And said, look, we made a lot of people dead by going achoo.
Yeah. So I say you write out the Americas altogether.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell.
I agree.
I say anything Japan or Southeast Asia or Australia or anything, I'd write that off too.
Because you'd have to travel all the way around.
You'd have to travel. I mean, you might be able to go down through the Arabian Gulf and then through the Persian Gulf and all that and get out to, like, you know, in Iraq and Yemen and Western or Eastern Africa, or even, I would say you might be able to get to India. But even that would be freaking hard as hell with technology back then.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking open ocean. Some of the, and as far as the Atlantic goes, some of the most violent waters out there with Atlantic storms that come through, the hurricanes and everything else. A little boat's not going to last out there very long.
No.
But we can always put Austin in a canoe. Push him out to sea and see what happens.
Are you guys going to be on a yacht at least like 10, like 5 miles? Like, we're going to be kind of close? Or?
Oh, yeah. We'll keep you in visual range. We'll be drinking beer and Mai Tais up on
the... Having the speakers... on a boat!
On a deck with the Swedish bikini team.
As long as you guys got me a lifeline, he's just pulling me back into the boat. I give two hard tugs. Out of boat.
Yeah, if we did that, we'd eventually get really drunk and talk to the captain and throw you a tow rope and see if we could water ski the canoe behind the yacht.
We'd kickflip a canoe in the middle of the ocean.
Come on, man, hit the wig.
So what kind of stuff you got, Austin?
Oh, please. You guys have talked about a lot of shit I already tried to pick up.
Gotta get in there, man.
I'm trying. I can't fucking get in anywhere. When Mark says something, I'm like, eh, and then you say something that's way more intelligent than what I'm gonna say. So I'm just gonna let you do your thing and admire you. I ain't gay or nothing because it ain't Wednesday, but you know. So
I love how you always keep it just a one day, though.
Yeah, it's only Wednesday. Yeah.
So I liked some of the stuff I found about the island of Malta. The tsunami behind the eradication of Atlantis happened, at least what is believed, happened around the same time that a catastrophe struck Malta as well. They've also recently found, when I say recently, I mean it's a couple hundred years, but Malta has one of the oldest freestanding temples. It's believed to be older than the pyramids in Egypt, and even older than Stonehenge in the UK.
If somebody's from Malta, is it Maltese? Like the Maltese Falcon?
I'm not sure. I believe you're correct on
that. Is it Maltese?
I think so.
They actually found... I didn't know this, so I thought this was pretty interesting. And this doesn't really have... I mean, Malta kind of fits the criteria of this, but it doesn't say, like, Malta. Atlantis. Yeah. You know. but they found some engravings in an ancient Egyptian temple. I believe it was the Temple of Neith. The story was in reference to an area in the Western Ocean that no longer exists that is now called the Mediterranean Sea. Once again, like I said, Malta fits right in
that area. And that's kind of like what he was saying. They called it something else with the Egyptians. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, we can't say there is one true Atlantis that we know of right now.
Well, yeah, it's in the Caribbean.
And there's another one over in Vegas, I think. Remember one in Atlantic City?
I don't think there is one in Vegas.
They have an island that's called Atlantis.
Yeah, but there's also hotels and casinos.
Yeah, I think it's called Atlantis, but it's like a hotel resort island.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, when we went on a family vacation to the Bahamas, that thing is fucking lavish out in the distance. You're on Freeport. I think it's right off the coast of Freeport. But when you like look out at it, it's very far away, but dude, it literally looks like a fucking palace. Like, I can't wait till... Not that we're going to find out, but once we're wiped out and another civilization comes, you'll be like, this place must have been a place of wonders.
Why hasn't nobody built here?
It's in the middle of fucking where the biggest hurricanes happen in the world.
Well, that's what they'll end up thinking about Vegas, too. Oh, this place must have been lush in the jungle and all this water. Because look, they built all these huge skyscrapers and everything else here. But now we were just sleeping, built in the desert. Everyone was high on GHB and, you know, rolling and going
out
to Burning
Man. The mom was getting pushed out of New York and Chicago.
Hey, this looks like a great place to build and get high.
What else you got, my man?
That Atlantis was possibly swallowed up by the Bermuda Triangle. Around the 1970s, writer Charles Berlantz claimed that Atlantis was a real continent located off the coast of the Bahamas that had fallen victim to the notorious Bermuda Triangle. And I don't know, why do we have to tell people what the Bermuda Triangle is? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, but supporters of this theory have pointed to discovery of what looks like man-made walls and streets off the coast of Bahamas.
Now, that we were talking about that, I find it really interesting because in Mayan culture, they have their writings say that they moved there.
That all the Mayans went to Atlantis?
No. That they
Bahimi?
No. They came. The Mayans came from somewhere else.
Mm.
And it flooded. And then they dispersed from that area. And when I looked on the map, on the Google Maps, from Bimini to the Yucatan Peninsula, where they had, I think it's near Belize, where they started all their building of temples and stuff, it is roughly about 400 miles, and it's island hopping that they could do, yep, just like the Vikings. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe there was
a civilization there, but it was the Mayans.
Yeah.
That seems more plausible to me from that.
Yeah. And then they disappeared again?
Yeah.
Who knows where they are now?
Yeah.
Well, I think the conquistadors had something to do with that.
A little bit, yeah.
I did find
something. We kind of know where they went.
But we're not going to talk.
We don't talk about that.
We're going to brush that under the rug. I did get one. I actually talked to Ian about this one already because Mark doesn't know how to answer the phone. That Atlantis was a giant spaceship. And that when shit got real, they were just like, yeah, we're out. And they were just gone. And that's why we can't find it.
They just took off.
Yeah. Massive spaceship.
Mothership status.
Well, usually, okay, I'm just going to my science fiction. Usually, the mothership stays in orbit. And then they send all the little spaceships down. The mothership never comes down to Earth.
I mean, you got Cletus at the helm, man. You don't know what to expect.
The science fiction rules, though. The mothership always stays in orbit.
The Doyle rules.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's just the rules of it. And the same thing with, like...
Oh, there's rules now? We got rules now to theories?
Well, just like Star Wars. They don't have bullets in Star Wars. They have the laser guns instead. And you can actually see and track with the naked eye the laser coming at you. And can't you just, like, move out the way?
Right. Mythbusters actually
because it doesn't move very fast. It's like, I think a bullet would be better in this scenario.
Mythbusters actually tested that. And those lasers, they actually, like, calculated speeds and shit. About 130 miles an hour is when they were coming out. At least that's what the Mythbusters had tested.
Yeah, it's like, let me get the hell out
of there. That's kind of doable.
Yeah, I can dodge that.
You're going to dodge 130?
From a distance?
They did. I think the test, the control that they ran, I think it was about 25 to 30 feet.
Tell you what. Once again, we'll use Austin as a guinea pig. I got a laser pointer. You can turn it on. I'll go grab the AR-15, the 5.56 223 rounds. And we'll see which one he can dodge.
I was at least hoping he'd try to beanbag me first.
You're going to give him a countdown at least?
Yeah, right? Draw!
I'll use the zombie loads.
You're going to start it from the hip. You're at least going to start from the hip and then go to, sights.
Trust me, you'll never know what hit you.
I like how I'm the youngest. Like, I think I have the longest to go in life, and I'm the one that's up... For the death, or for the life altering.
Well, you're the youngest, so you would have the better reflexes, right?
I mean, I'm old. I can't move.
Especially after your last escapade.
I'm crippled.
I mean, you got a point there.
I'm not going to shoot at you.
Should I call out to the listeners for help? Is this a Free Britney situation?
I'm not going to shoot at you. Don't worry. Do you know what ammunition costs right now?
Yeah, we haven't started drinking yet.
Speak for yourself.
Have you been drinking? Still hiding tall boys in that beard?
You know it.
Hey, I'm stone sober.
That's almost harder to believe than Ian's been drinking.
Have been for 2 days. It's because I got hungover the other night.
Plausible? No.
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 Mothership? Always stays in orbit.
I thought it was still funny, though.
Yeah. Got to reach for something, you know?
Well, and like we had talked about before, like, just the language that people had back then. Let's say if it was, how the fuck are they going to describe that other than this magical palace-like place? You know, they're not going to know how the fuck to describe what they're seeing.
Yeah.
Well, there is a place on the Earth right now that pretty much matches everything.
Go on.
The place. There's a structure out in North Africa called the Eye of Africa, the Richey structure. It's in the country of Mauritania, which the country of Mauritania is home to the Maori people, who in English terms were the Moors. It's where we get the terminology the Moors from.
I don't know that term.
You are not the father.
The Moors came over from South or Northern Africa, settled in Southern Europe. That's why they say a lot of times, like the Italians, the Sicilians, the Greeks, and all that have their olive skin.
Ah.
It's because from the Moors, the Moorish blood.
Gotcha.
It's also Latin for the Berber people that live in that area. Mauritania is a real country. And their first king's name was Atlas.
Hmm.
So it's documented that the first king's name is Atlas, the same first king of Atlantis. Now, in 430 BC, Herodotus drew a map of the known world. And in this map, you can see that it's in northern Africa, where he writes the word Atlantes, and it's right where this country of Mauritania is. And that is also where, of course, that Richey structure exists. The Richey structure is two concentric circles of land, or two concentric circles of water, three concentric circles of land.
Which match?
Which match perfectly. There's a mountain range at the top,
Yeah, Atlas Mountains.
Check.
There's rivers, streams that come down from it to it.
Check, check.
There's an opening to the south of this structure that moves out to the south towards the Atlantic Ocean. To get to it, you would have to pass west through the Pillars of Hercules.
Double check.
The rock that's there is red, white, and black that's quarried from it. Check, check. The central island of the structure has freshwater springs that come up through it. Check. All the land around it, when they dig the wells, has salt water. Therefore, at one point, they know there was ocean there in that part of Africa.
Hmm. Now, where is this located? Is it close to...
When you look at it on the map now, you can see it. You can see it perfectly from Google Maps. You don't even have to zoom in that far.
Yeah.
It looks like it's probably a couple hundred miles in, like 100, 150 miles from the actual current coast.
No, but I mean, like, is it close to...
The sizes?
Where Plato was. Like, if you were to look at the map, like, here's Africa.
If you look at the map...
Where is it? Where is it?
I drew it right here.
Oh.
So I overlaid on this. So we have the Mediterranean Sea. Mm-hmm. You go out the Mediterranean Sea through the Pillars of Gibraltar. You take a left and go south. It's right here.
Oh. Underneath. It's kind of close.
The Atlas Mountains range that runs right through here. And if you look at his map, let me bring this up.
That kind of makes sense, though.
Yeah.
So if you look up the map of the world according to Herodotus, you see Atlantis written right here, where Mauritania is perfectly. And the map, the north, the mountains are above it. Mm. Everything lines up. Now, where he said the sizes of the rings and the sizes of the distances of everything, where they were the, what were the terminology used again? Stadia?
Yeah.
When translated to modern measurements, mm-hmm. everything lines up perfectly. The sizes of the rings, where they're placed, everything. So, to me, it starts telling me that this most likely is where this is. Now, they also, there's abundance of elephants in Atlantis.
Africa.
All the, currently Mauritania has a ton of elephants. They also have cave paintings of elephants all around where the structure's at. They've also found arrowheads, spearheads, pottery in the Riche structure, showing that people actually did live there at one time.
In the rings, it shows?
Yep. And the central island is actually a dome that has collapsed a couple of times over the years, and where it has risen and fallen from geological and other, you know, stresses, where plate tectonics, earthquakes, and where it could have caused massive floods and collapsed the whole center island.
So if they go out, and somebody hears this, hears our podcast, and goes out and excavates that site again, and they're like, fucking Mark was right.
Oh, you said you could see it from Google Maps.
You can see it right from, yeah, if you look it up, if you look at Google Maps, you can see it. Just look up the Riche structure. You can see it perfectly.
And say the country one more time for them.
It is in Mauritania.
Mauritania.
Which is south of Morocco, Algeria, and Tunisia.
Okay. I really like it. I like your evidence there.
Everything lines up on it.
Yeah.
The only thing is, like, you can see some outlines of possibly a structure. But then again, you can't tell if it's actually... There's nothing there as far as structures go.
I wonder if anybody's done an archaeological dig.
I don't think they have. And the other odd thing is, if you go out there, in Mauritania, there's whale carcasses in the desert between that structure and the ocean. And they're not fossilized yet. They're old as shit. They're, you know, thousands of years old. But it takes like millions of years for something to turn into a fossil. Yeah. So right. The whale bones are actually still there. And sometimes they get dug up from the desert sands where they can actually see them.
That's cool.
And come across them. So you know there was ocean life there at one point.
Yeah.
Which would bring that coastline in far enough that that area could be the actual Atlantis. Now, there's also, I believe they found the materials to make that Orichalcum? The orc metal, whatever it's called.
Right.
Where they could have mined that and sold that. So you're also looking at where you go through the evidence of Plato, him explaining everything and actually doing the dimensions lot. Herodotus' map, all around the same time, explaining where and showing where Atlantis is on his map in the known world at that time. Everything starts lining up.
Kind of does.
The only thing you don't have is a smoking gun of the big Poseidon.
Right.
Like, statue or any of that.
But if the area is known for natural catastrophes, it could have just been destroyed.
Yeah.
All that, or there could have been people, if that statue didn't exist, where
pick it up and take it.
They take it, you know, start looting. I mean,
yeah.
There's so many cultures and civilizations out there that have been built off the ruins of other civilizations rather than going out and, I think it was like Rome and Greece, where rather than going out in the Middle Ages and whatnot to quarry stone to build their castles and crap like that, they just tore down the old monuments and used those to build the new structures. They did it in England, too. But they would tear down one castle to build a new one.
I like it, man.
I do, too.
That's super plausible.
Yeah. I'd lean more towards that than anything.
Yeah.
Hey, everything lines up.
Good shit, Mark.
Yeah. Man.
But then again, watch it just be...
It could just be all bullshit.
Coincidence.
Right.
Some of that seems a little too good to be true for coincidence, though. Just simple cross-referencing between a map and Plato's stories.
Well, it's awesome when you actually look at the Riche structure from Google Maps and see it.
While you're looking it up, Africa, that we were talking about, you know, with Africa and stuff, the continent itself, it's actually tearing apart. And we're starting to see evidence of it now. On the eastern side of Africa, just right on the other side of the Middle East, there's a huge fault line. There's a huge fault line that runs straight through here. And you can see it starting to rip apart right there.
It was just like a V-shaped. It's just starting to tear.
Yeah. Look at that.
So when you look up Google Maps and zoom out, there's your rivers and streams. There's your mountains to the north. There's your pathway. There's your pathway that goes right through these two mountains right here, which is perfect. It gives you the perfect distance. And then this would be coastline.
Yeah.
And right out to the Atlantic. But it's perfect perfect circles when you look at it.
I almost want to say it's almost too far inland, but the way that you explain it, you can even see like the way that the sediment, just how it did.
And it sets on a plain too, a flat plain above everything else.
Yeah.
Where at one point, and this is where they find all the whale carcasses, is right through here. So thousands of years ago, that all was under ocean. Because there's still salt water here in the wells. And you're so far inland.
Yeah.
How is there still salt water in the wells unless...
Is that on Google? The
ocean? Yeah.
So back out a little bit and then right click where the thing is and see the distance. Set distance or whatever it is. At the bottom, I think.
Measure distance?
Yeah. And then...
Drag it?
I think drag it or just click on the other side, right click.
322 miles.
322 miles. So
to the coast.
Damn. So that was all water. That's crazy.
So all we have to do is get this structure right here to be water from here to here. So all it needs is...
It's crazy, too, how you see the rest of the ground. And it doesn't really... I mean, a little bit it does it, but you can see it like come... All the lines are perpendicular with the ocean.
Pulling.
Yeah.
And 140 miles in is where the ocean would have to come in for that to actually be the coastline, which matches up.
And I could see the water receding and land shifting and all that in 2,000 years. Let alone that much time.
And when you look at how far it is from Greece.
And that would even make sense, too, that the Egyptians knew about them because they were right to the southwest of them.
Yeah.
just across, straight across. Which is a lot easier than going out to the frickin' Bahamas.
I don't know, man. I like it.
I do too.
I dig it. I think that would be the spot to look.
I think that's where it's at. If it's not that, if that's not Atlantis, I believe that's what inspired the stories of Atlantis.
Yeah.
Is a civilization that lived there.
It's good shit.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, man.
Made a believer out of me.
Yeah.
I was kind of set.
There's a first time for everything.
I was kind of set on the island of Malta, but you definitely changed my mind.
I was set on Haliki, but fuck, man. That just shows everything.
Yeah, and the fact that you can see it from space.
And yeah, and the only thing you're missing is the fucking statue.
Yeah.
But that could be easily explained. Like you said, people just fucking rob shit all the time.
Load her up.
Yeah. The biggest smoking gun, not only that the structure's there, just the fact that the people that are in that area, that live in that area, say their first king's name was Atlas.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, everything lines up.
Good stuff. So, if it is not, then, okay, so I either say that's definitely Atlantis, or Plato was just being allegorical with a lot of hearsay and that kind of stuff.
And he took stories from Herodotus, and he took stories from the Egyptians, and he took stories from everybody else, and they knew of this structure and people living here like that, and just called it Atlantis and made a story about him.
Plausible.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's strong. I believe that's a strong possibility. That's fucking Atlantis right there.
That's right. I found it.
Where's the title?
Where's my government grants? Me and Cletus can go there and start doing some excavations.
Drop the tailgate.
Cletus, what the hell are you doing bringing a bass boat?
We're going to Atlantis, man.
It's in desert now, asshole. There ain't no water.
Grab a shovel, you dick.
What can you do? Out there trolling for freaking lizards. Ain't no crappie out here.
Well, fuck. I don't really have anything else to say after that. Fucking solved.
Done. Next.
But, no, I mean, it was really interesting to look into this stuff, especially with Plato's writings and all the mysteries of where the fuck it is. It was really good stuff to look into.
Sign your name on that at the end of this. Somebody's going to want that, and it's going to be worth millions. Sign that fucker.
Yeah, that thing ain't worth shit. My little crappy drawing.
In 30,000 years, somebody's going to find that and be like, holy shit. I don't know why he sounded Chinese, but...
As long as they find that, not the hard drive to my computer upstairs, we're good.
Well, the Clintons are going to get that first.
Well, no. I already have a deal with... I got a deal with Ian already that, you know, something happens to me. He comes in here. He pulls the hard drive. He lights it on fire. He beats it with a hammer. He shoots it a couple times and then throws it into the Elm Creek.
Is that before or after we go through it?
Well, see, I told him that I was going to do that, but that seems like a lot of fucking work. So I'm just going to bring a big super magnet. Fucking just run it over. Think, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, Mark.
But
there's nothing on it.
All right,
we'll talk later.
Yeah, we'll talk.
There's nothing on there, FBI man.
Let's wrap this one up. I mean, I think we had a great conversation about this, and we're kind of staying under an hour at this point instead of the 2 hours that we've been going.
5 hours on one subject.
Right.
Edit it down.
Yeah. But, hey, thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for listening, guys. And definitely you can check us out. Austin took over the Facebook stuff, so he's being more social media-er than me.
Social media director.
Send me all your likes.
But you can catch us on Facebook, the Abnormal Matters Podcast. You can always send a review. Let us know what you're thinking. You can actually reach us at our Gmail account too, the Abnormal Matters Podcast at gmail.com. And I'll also post in the link here when I send this out with our phone number too, that you can also leave a message, shoot us a text, let us know what's going on, what you think you want to listen to next of The Strange and the Odd. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate everybody listening. All the likes and everything we've been receiving on Facebook and everything. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, and I'm just proud to say that I made it 7 days without alcohol, and I need to go get a beer after
this. And you found Atlantis.
That's right.
You deserve a drink, damn it.
I'm going to go celebrate with some champagne.
Champagne.
We'll catch you guys later on the Flippity Flip.
Later.
Later.